Well, good morning. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. And if today is day one for you, you're our guest today. We're thrilled that you're with us. If you're listening in our LifePoint online community, we're grateful that you are with us as well. Just by way of commercial, the young lady who was leading worship here with our team this morning, that's Tiffany Hoover. She and her husband David are one of our long-term goer couples that are serving around the world in Southeast Asia, and we've been blessed to have them home, so we're grateful for them. They are getting ready to turn around and head back overseas here soon, but we certainly are grateful for them and for their service, and we are very blessed by them. We have been in this series called Adulting, where we've been looking at the book of Proverbs, and every week, we have said on each Sunday that we believe that Solomon would say that wisdom is doing life God's way. And as we're kind of finishing up the series, today is the last week. We start a brand new series next week. Solomon has kind of been talking to us for the last couple of weeks about landing our legacy. We started talking about it two Sundays ago, and one of the things that we said is that really it's today's choices that kind of form tomorrow's legacy. It's not the choices you make 10 years from now or 20 years from now or 30 years from now that determine your legacy, but it's today's choices. And everybody leaves a legacy. It's not that some people do and some people don't. Everybody leaves a legacy. The only question is what kind of wake is going to be left behind your life. And last Sunday, Chad kind of talked to us about that from that Proverbs 31 female perspective. I know some of the ladies from our church spoke into that message, so I did a great job with that truth last week. And then this Sunday, Solomon is going to kind of round out and say, okay, as you begin to look at the finish line, the legacy line for your life, what is that? What is that going to be like? So to kind of jump off today, we're going to start with what is one of my favorite, if not my favorite proverb in Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 29. The first half of the verse says, "The glory of young men is their strength." I heard a speaker say one time that his 17-year-old son walked into the living room and kind of bumped into him one time. And he said, "Hey, Dad, look, I got abs." And he pulled his shirt up and he's like, "Look at my abs. Dad," he was looking in the mirror, kind of doing this. He's like, "Look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, six pack, Dad. I got a six pack. I've got abs." And he said, the speaker said, he looked at his son. He said, "Yeah, son, you got abs. You know what I've got? Money." So the rest of the verse says, "While the glory of the young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." Try it again. Gray. See, what's my favorite verse? You get me. You understand me. The book of Ecclesiastes really is Solomon talking to younger people when he is old, and he kind of gathers them up. And it's almost like he says, you know, grab a strong cup of black coffee. We're going to sit down, and we're going to have a little chat together. And what Solomon is going to do today is he is going to talk to us about the end, right? What it's like as we get closer, and to have a view of that right now. America's greatest theologian was a guy named Jonathan Edwards, and he said, "I have determined to often think of my death." This previous week, I was up at a place called Gull Lake teaching all week, so I think this is my eighth message to speak this week, so I really have no idea what I'm going to say today. There may be a little Galatians in here, there may be a little Proverbs. I'm kind of at the end of a long week, but one night, I think there were, I don't know, 16 families from LifePoint who were up there this particular week. And so one night we all got together and we were going to have a little game night, right? And so we played this game called Things. And the whole idea of the game is that you throw out a topic and everyone makes up an answer, throw all the answers in a hat, pull them out, read them, and you figure out who said what answer, right? So the thing on one round was things you never do at a funeral, right? So everybody wrote their answer, turned them in, we pulled them out. And one of the answers that was pulled out said, "Leave your phone on ringtone full volume to the song, The Final Countdown." And so we kind of chuckled like you did. We kind of chuckled about that, right? And when we finally figured out who it was, the husband said, "True story, y'all, that happened to me. I left my phone on." He's like right in the middle of the Jewish. So just imagine for a minute, you're at a funeral, final celebration of life, and all of a sudden, this is what you hear. "It's the final countdown." So, you know, I thought from his perspective, by the way, I don't want to embarrass him, but his initials are Matt Schoonover, that Solomon this morning, that's really what he's doing. Solomon is talking to us about the final countdown. That's what he's saying. So when he gets to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, here's how he starts. Verse 1. It says this: "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" What is interesting as Solomon begins to talk to us about this is while our culture is actually anti-aging, the scriptures are kind of pro-aging. Solomon is going to encourage us. He's going to say, look, for a lot of us, we have the want to change. What we lack is the will to change. And he's going to say that for us today, not 10 years from now, not 20 years from now, not 30 years from now, today, we have got to get past the want to and get to the will to, because death is coming. Now, look, I get it. That's not a popular topic, right? We would much rather talk about life than we would death. We talk about insurance, right, that we purchase for that day at the end of our lives, and we call it life insurance, right? But how do you collect it? You've got to die, and no one would buy it if it was called death insurance, right? When we eat breakfast in the morning, we eat life cereal because no one wants a bowl of death, right, in the morning. You know, we could have named this place Death Point Church. None of you would have come, right? None of you would have been here because we like to emphasize life. Well, in Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon, he's going to talk to us about death. And in the first 7 verses, he's going to talk to us just a little bit about our physical body. So I'll read verse 1 again, and then I'm just going to kind of pick my way through here and pick out a few things. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you say, I have no pleasure in them. He says, when the sun, the moon, the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. Most scholars think that Solomon is referring to the fact that life is cyclical in nature. In other words, when you're born into the world as an infant, you really don't do much, right? You eat, you sleep, you poop, you cry, you giggle a little, and that's kind of your whole life. And you grow into adulthood, and if you live long enough, you're gonna kind of grow back towards infancy, and that's gonna be your life again, that it's all kind of cyclical. He says, when the keepers of the house tremble, he's referring to your hands. As you get older, you kind of lose control of them. It becomes hard to even do simple things like button a shirt. He says, when strong men stoop, he's talking about our backs. I thought we would just do a little bit of an experiment here with our joints. So on 3, we'll have everybody stand up. Just be real quiet. We'll just stand up. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You hear all that creaking? You hear that? You have a seat. That's what Solomon is referring to in this text. As we get older, our joints don't function the way that they used to. He says the grinders are few. That's talking about your teeth. The windows becoming dim. It's talking about your eyesight. Rising at the sound of the birds. It's talking about how when you get older, you tend to take more naps during the day, so you struggle to sleep at night. When the daughters of song are brought low, talking about how we lose our hearing. When the white almond trees, it's talking about your hair turning gray. I love this one. When the grasshopper drags himself along. Isn't that a great picture of getting older? When he's young, he's a grasshopper, right? When he gets old, he's a grass dragger, right? Kind of feel like that sometimes. And then the last thing he says is that desire is no longer stirred. Solomon had access to 1,000 women, combination of wives and concubines. And he says he reaches this point in old age when desire is no longer stirred. So what is Solomon's point in all this? It's to remember before you forget. Solomon knows that there's going to be this tendency among us to forget about God. The point that I think is right above this is the whole idea of what he's saying is think production while you still function, right? He details out all of the things that are going to go wrong with our physical bodies to remind us to remember before we forget. Because Solomon knows that our tendency is going to be to use the younger years of our lives to work ourselves into the grave, to work and work and work and to put in overtime hours during the week and to work on the weekends. And, you know, there's an author named John Capozzi who says that the beneficiary of all of your overtime hours, those late nights, those long weekends, will eventually be your wife's next husband, right? Or maybe your husband's next wife. It goes both ways. Americans still, it's hard to believe, but still today spend $40 billion every year on catalogs. $40 billion. You know, the fastest growing businesses in the country, well, it went up right over there, right? Our self-storage units. Because we don't have enough room at our homes for all of our stuff. So we have to go get a self-storage unit to put all the extra stuff in this. Why? Because you'll never have enough of what you don't need. I'll say that to you again. You'll never have enough of what you don't even need. And I know you're going to say to me, well, Dean, I'm going to leave it all. I'm going to leave it all to somebody. Listen, everybody does that, right? Everybody leaves it all to somebody. There's nothing inherently noble about that. When you think about the end, what do you think about? One of my favorite characters in all the scriptures, very lesser talked about, but is a guy named Caleb. And you remember back in the history of Israel when they first went to spy out the land and they sent in 12 spies, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a good report. The other 10 came back with kind of a fearful, negative report. Said, there's no way we can do it. Joshua and Caleb says, yeah, let's go. Let's go get it. Let's go right now. God's with us. And because of that, and the people said no to going into the land, a whole generation of them had to wait. Until another generation grew up. And it was time for them after 40 more years to go into this land that God had promised them. And in Joshua chapter 16, when it's time for them to go, this is Caleb's commentary now, 40 years later. He says this, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim or the giants were there, and the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has said. I don't know how you want to finish or cross the finish line, but I would love to cross the finish line like Caleb. He's 85. Think about somebody you know who's 85 years old. Caleb says at 85, he says, you know what? I want that mountain. That mountain up there where the giants live, where the cities are strong and it's gonna be tough and it's gonna be, I'm just as strong today as I was for, now you know he's not, right? You know the difference between a 40-year-old man and an 85-year-old. I mean, he's not as physically strong, but heart-wise, soul-wise, spirit-wise, he says, I'm just as strong today, that I'm just as passionate today as I've ever been. I don't know about you, but I would love it if God would grace me with that kind of heart and that kind of passion that in my latter years, I'm just as passionate or more passionate about him and his grace and his goodness than I am even today. Here's how Solomon kind of rounds out Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He says this, besides being wise, the preacher, that's how he refers to himself in the book, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote the words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd, my son. Beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end. Of much study is weariness of flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You see, you contrast a life like Caleb with what we see in our own lives. I've got the privilege have the opportunity to pastor and shepherd in a lot of different kinds of situations. Years and years ago, somebody called me and asked me to come and visit a parent who was about to pass away. And I didn't know the parent, never met him. But they said, would you come and pray? And I said, sure. And they kind of prepped me. They said, now listen, whenever you come in, you know, sometimes because it's hospice care and because, you know, sometimes there are drugs involved, those kinds of things. Listen, sometimes my mom will say things kind of out of her mind. And so just want to prep you. And I'm like, oh, great, yeah, no problem. I've been in that situation. I kind of knew it. So I go and I go get ready to make the visit. I walk in the door and one of the family members says, hey, mom, the pastor's here. She wanted to see a pastor. She said, hey, mom, the pastor's here. She was laying down in bed, just as horizontal as she could be. And as soon as they said that, she sat straight up in bed, turns and looks at me and says, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I should have gone to church more. I should have done more. And I'm freaking out, right? Like, I'm like, I've been in a lot of situations. I've never been in this situation. And so they get her calmed down and we sit and we talk for a few minutes and we're able to pray together. And you know what I thought whenever I walked out of there? She's not out of her mind. The rest of us are out of our minds. Because we're not paying attention to the fact that here she is at the end and she's got some regret. Now listen, nobody's perfect. Nobody's gonna get to the end and go, man, I did everything exactly right. And at the same time, she has this regret that she's carrying with her as she's crossing the finish line. And that's difficult to deal with. How do we deal with that? I'm just gonna reread to you this last verse. Here is Solomon says, the end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In his kindness, God gives Solomon the wisdom to boil it down for us. This is life. He said, the whole duty of man, this is life, what? Love God, follow his word. Now listen, we make it real complicated and we make it real difficult. And if you follow enough Christian people and theologians on Twitter, you're gonna lose your mind all the time about this theological issue and this and that. Listen, keep it real simple. Narrow the lane, Solomon said. Of much study is a wearisome task. If you don't do these two things, love God, follow his word. Keep it nice and simple. So let me ask you, what are your spiritual goals? You look at the future 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. What are your spiritual goals? What's interesting to me is that we have all kinds of other goals. We have financial goals. We have vacation goals. We know we're going on vacation next year or maybe even the year after, right? We're already setting aside funds for vacations and those kinds of things. We have financial goals. We have athletic goals for our kids, right? My kid's gonna go U5, and then we're gonna go U7, and then U9, we're gonna go to this camp, we're gonna go here, we're gonna be nationally, we're gonna be elite, we're gonna be da-da-da-da-da, and then we're gonna get a scholarship, D1. We've got all those goals. What are your spiritual goals? I've got three of them. You wanna hear them? It doesn't matter if you wanna hear them, right? I'm up here standing, I'm gonna tell you what my goals are. You wanna hear them or not? Three goals. Goal number one, I want to love God as much as humanly possible and teach his word with the years that I've got left. As long as that's my spiritual gifting, I want to love him and follow that all the way to the end with as many days as I've got. That's goal number one. Goal number two, I want to love Angie well and be the best husband and spouse that I can be. She is a gift from God to me. How she loves other people. She's a partner in ministry, and she absolutely deserves she deserves my best. Am I perfect at it? No, but she deserves that. Third goal, my kids. I want to love them, be the best dad that I can be to them, and launch them well. Perfect at it? Absolutely not. I have to tell them a lot. Dad messed up. Dad blew it. Sorry. I've done that a number of times over the years. But I want to give them every opportunity to launch out of our house, love God, have a relationship with him, follow his word. So those are that's three goals. Now I've got other goals, smaller goals, you know, that we're dealing with. I'm sure you do too. But those are the three big ones, right? If I miss those three, it doesn't matter if I hit the other one. That's not an issue. Now my struggle in those three goals is that I can't watch ESPN 8 hours a day and accomplish, because sometimes I'd like to do that, right? I'd like to spend all my time entertaining myself. No one stumbles into those three goals. You've got to be intentional about that. And so we have a core value here. We talk about spiritual intimacy, which is investing more in a relationship with God than merely just trying to keep the rules. That takes time and energy and intentional thinking. I mean, think about trying to be the best. How can I do something that is special that would make Angie feel like I value her periodically at times? How can I do those things so that she knows that I don't just say that I love her, but she knows it. She feels it. She senses it. With my kids, I learned when they were very, very little, you can't just say, "Did you have a good day today?" You have to say, "What's the best thing about your day? What was the worst thing about your day?" Dad, this little boy pushed me on the playground. And it was, "Oh, man, honey, I'm really sorry. What was the little fella's name? Where does he live?" Pastor Troy's Italian. He's got relatives that'll come and take care of that for him. Right? You have to be intentional about those things. And the hard part, the difficult part, is the intentionality. Folks, only three things, lasts forever. God, his word, and people. Everything else is useless. It's all gonna burn up. Have an eternal perspective about what your life is about today. Not 10 years from now, not 20 years from now, not 30 years from now. Your legacy is affected. Tomorrow's legacy is affected by the choices that you make today. And it doesn't matter if you're a high school student, you're a college student, you're a young married, you're in the middle of the crazy season with kids running around here and there, you're in the middle of career and you've I've got to take this step and the ladder goes here to here to all of that. Listen, two things: love God, follow his word. Solomon says, just keep it nice and simple. Don't overcomplicate it. So, when you think about a life, you think about a life well lived. I don't know, have you ever heard the name Paul Brand? He wrote a book in the last series called Six Fingers for God. He was part of a small group of surgeons who basically worked together to eradicate leprosy toward the middle of the end of the last century. But his parents were missionaries in India. 1909, his parents met, eventually married. They left the United States and they went to India to serve. And that's Evelyn was Paul's mom, and Paul Sr. was Paul Jr., I think was his dad. And so they get over there and they serve for 7 years. Think about just 7 years. Think about what you were doing. You can't even think about what you were doing. I can't think about what I was doing 7 years ago, right? 7 years, they work, they serve faithfully. They work, they serve, they work, they serve, they work, they serve. In 7 years, not one single person, not one person receives the gospel message in India where they are. In year number 7, there's a local tribal chief who gets sick. The people there believe he has a fever. No one will go near him. So Paul Sr. and Evelyn cared for the tribal chief and nursed him back to health at the risk of their own lives, nursed him back to health. And that was a turning point for their ministry. For the next 13 years, they saw a number of people come to faith in Christ. They saw churches planted and everything went great until suddenly, at age 50, Paul Sr. passes away. They've been there 20 years now. First 7 years, second 13 years. And so everyone just assumes that at age 50, a widow all alone, that she's gonna come back home. But she lets everybody know that she's not coming back home, that she's actually gonna stay there, and she's gonna continue to serve. And for the next 20 years, she serves faithfully there in India until at age 70, her national mission sending agency said, look, we think it's time for you to retire. They let her know they would not be renewing her funding in the next year. So at age 70, after 40 years of serving in India, they have this big retirement party. Paul Jr. goes over, everybody goes, and they just assume, you know, mom's gonna be done. And at the party, she announces, she's like, I'm not going back to the United States. She said, you know what has always bothered me here where we've served in India is that we've never gone up to the mountains. She said, so over the last year, I've collected a couple of dollars here and there, and I've had some guys go up there, and they've built me a shack up in the mountains. The mountains are called the Death Mountains, not the Life Mountains. They're called the Death Mountains, by the way. She's like, I'm gonna go up to the Death Mountains, and I wanna do ministry and work and serve up there. So Evelyn Brand goes up and she serves for the next 5 years. She's going to age 70 to age 75 until she falls and breaks her hip. She's riding around on horseback in those mountains. She slips one day, falls and breaks her hip, and everybody thinks, okay, this is it. She's coming home, right? This is the end of her time. No. She takes a little bit of time off. She nurses her hip back to health. And for the next 18 years, she rides on horseback in the Death Mountains, visiting village after village after village, until at age 93, she falls, has a concussion, and everybody's like, okay, you can't ride a horse anymore at age 93, right? You were recovered from a broken hip 18 years ago, you can't do it anymore. And age 93, it's time for her to come home, right? To, you know, head to the retirement village in Phoenix, live out your last few years, right? No. She finds a couple of men who will carry her around on a cot in the Death Mountains, visiting village to village to village, checking on people, praying with people, sharing the gospel with people, until at age 95, the lady who became known as Granny Brand passes away in the Death Mountains of India. I think I've got a picture. I think this is the only picture of Granny Brand in her latter years. At her funeral, her son, Paul Jr., said, this is how you grow old. You let everything else fade away until all anyone sees is Christ. So here's what I'm asking you to do today. For some of you, God's speaking to you about spending the rest of your life in another country. And that's great. We would love to engage you in that conversation. You're just like David and Tiff. Tiff sang up here earlier. We would love to engage you in that conversation about a next step. But for a lot of you, that won't be your next step. What's amazing to me is that sometimes we, as Christians, we hear a message and we get inspired and we say, I'm willing to go somewhere and die. That's great. The big sacrifice is great. I'm just asking you today, make a small sacrifice. Just sacrifice a little bit of your time every day to get God's word out, to read it into your heart, and to pray it back to him. Just a small sacrifice every day. Just make the small sacrifice on a daily basis to say to God, God, I'm aware of your spirit who's alive on the inside of me that probably today would want to say a kind word, to encourage someone, to reach out to them, maybe to start a gospel conversation, to invite them somehow, God, towards relationship with you. And God, I'm aware of that today. I'm aware of your heart for the world more than I am aware of my financial goals and my goals for my kids and my goals at work. I'm aware of that's your goal for my life to make a difference in the world. So I just want you to say, God, today, I'm listening. And I'm gonna have to say it every hour at the top of the hour, every day. God, I'm listening. God, tell you, it's a really small sacrifice. how can Caleb say, give me that mountain with the giant? How can Evelyn Brand say, I want those death mountains? The only way that occurs is that Evelyn Brand realized that she had a Savior who also said, I'll go up that death mountain. On a mountain on a hill called Calvary, Jesus was taken to the top and he sacrificed himself. He made the big sacrifice for your sins and for my sins so that we would have a path to God through him and his work. We didn't have to do the work. But because of his sacrifice for us, Evelyn Brand says, you know what? I can make a sacrifice for him. Caleb looks at God and says, God, because of all you've done for us, because of all you've done for the people of Israel, because of all you've given to us, it's nothing for me, God, to give back to you. And so what I'm saying to you today is because Jesus was willing to give his life for you, make a small sacrifice every day to love God and to love his word and to leave a legacy behind you that speaks to the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, I'm grateful for lives well lived. I'm grateful, God, for the words that we see and sense in Scripture that encourage us that direction. I'm grateful for the examples in Scripture. I'm grateful for the practical examples that we have in our world. And God, I pray that you would form us, shape us, make us into those kinds of people. People, God, who recognize that that small sacrifices make a big difference in the long run. That, Lord, it is our joyful delight to follow you, not our wearisome duty. God, we wear ourselves out doing other things with other motivations that long-term, God, are just not gonna matter. So God, I pray that you will help us to be very intentional, very focused about loving you, following your word. That's the end of the matter. It's in your name we pray. Amen.